I want to speak this evening on Christian friendship and fellowship. Christian friendship and fellowship. Very important. So John 15, reading a few verses from 12 through to 17. John 15, verses 12 to 17. The words of Jesus. This is my commandment, that you love one another as I have loved you. Greater love has no man than this, that to lay down his life for his friends. You are my friends, if you do whatever I command you. No longer do I call you servants, for a servant does not know what his master is doing. But I have called you friends, for all things that I heard from my Father, I have made known to you. You did not choose me, but I chose you and appointed you that you should go and bear fruit, and that your fruit should remain, that whatever you ask the Father in my name, he may give you. These things I command you, that you love one another. That's the theme, love one another in Christian friendship. Now, would you go to the letter of John, first letter of John, chapter 3, at the end of the New Testament. First letter of John, chapter 3. And read from verses 14 to 24. 14 to 24. First letter of John, chapter 3, 14 to 24, at the end of the chapter. We know that we have passed from death to life, because we love the brethren. He who does not love his brother abides in death. Whoever hates his brother is a murderer, and you know that no murderer has eternal life abiding in him. By this we know love, because he laid down his life for us, that we also ought to lay down our lives for the brethren. But whoever has this world's goods and sees his brother in need and shut up his heart from him, how does the love of God abide in him? My little children, let us not love in word or in tongue, but in deed and in truth. And by this we know that we are of the truth, and shall assure our hearts before him. For if our heart condemn us, God is greater than our heart, and knows all things. Beloved, if our heart does not condemn us, we have confidence towards God. And whatever we ask, we receive from him, because we keep his commandments and do those things that are pleasing in his sight. And this is his commandment, that we should believe on the name of his Son, Jesus Christ, and love one another, as he gave us commandment. My thoughts here, of course, is obviously on Christian love, Christian friendship, and Christian fellowship in the unity of the Holy Spirit, without whom we can't. Now, in that sense, the idea of friendship, in biblical terms, friendship is linked with love for one another. Of course, one would expect that. How can you have friendship and fellowship without love for one another? No, you can't do that, can you? I'll just switch that off, if I may, for a moment. Something's come on the screen. Yes, we must have love for one another. We have fellowship one with another. Friendship one with another, and that is all caused by the unity of the Holy Spirit from our new birth onwards. That's quite true. So in biblical language then, the term friendship and fellowship is very much linked with the word love for one another and love for the Lord. So obviously this thought of Christian fellowship is very different, and friendship, of course, is very different, much higher than we might say worldly friendship and worldly fellowship. And, obviously, worldly fellowship is our social contacts with people, our acquaintances with people, and our links with our neighbor next door. Well, that's a type of friendship, but it's nothing compared with the friendship between Christian believers born of the Spirit. That is our unity. Unity in the bond of peace by the Holy Spirit. Now we notice what Jesus said here. The whole basis of Christian fellowship, of course, and friendship is, of course, because of what Jesus did for us and made us one in him through our salvation experience and new birth. So with the thought of Christian friendship and Christian fellowship, we think of what Jesus himself said. Greater love has no man than this, that a man lay down his life for his friends. We read that. And the Lord Jesus makes it quite plain here that the whole basis of Christian friendship and Christian fellowship is a love which is a sacrificial love. Now that can ask all sorts of things, can't it? That one man could give his life to save another? Well, that's the Lord Jesus. On human terms, that is also possible. How many Christians have given their lives to secure the safety of other believers, especially in the world today? Yes. So Christian friendship, Christian fellowship is vital for us all, and it has a sacrificial element in it. The world doesn't have this easygoing friendship. It has that, but it's not a deeper fellowship. Not many would give their life for another one. So the basis of friendship and fellowship is, of course, love in the name of the Lord Jesus. That's plain enough, isn't it? So our love, of course, because we're born of the Spirit, we have experienced Christ's salvation, that love must have a spiritual content. It's a higher love. It's a higher giving of ourselves to one another. And in some cases in the world today, with all sorts of troubles and imprisonments, even martyrdom, this is something that love has to flow towards people suffering in this way. So the basis of true friendship is love in Jesus and love for one another. As Jesus said, greater love has no man than this, a man lay down his life for his friends. And he did that, of course. How supreme the love of Jesus is, far higher than ours, of course, we know. But Jesus said, as the Father has loved me, so have I loved you. Now you continue this in my love. And of course, this is what we want to do. That's our unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace, the bond of fellowship, the bond we have with the Lord Jesus Christ. Very important. So Christian friendship is far higher than any friendship in the world. That can come and go quite easy between people. But Christian friendship has to be deeper than that. It's a work of the Spirit in the bond of peace. We have peace with God. We have the peace of God dwelling in us. So the harmony between Christians, friendship and fellowship should be quite clear, binding us all together. That's clear enough, isn't it? And Jesus said, as the Father loved me, so I loved you. And that's wonderful, isn't it? So Christian love is a love which is far higher. It's a transformed love. It's on a higher spiritual level than anything the world can add. Can't add to that, nor compare with it. It's of a higher spiritual plane because it's Christ's love in us to love one another and love him in return. Our love may seem to be weak at times, but when we realize how the Lord has loved us and gave himself for us, then we can love him with gratitude, can't we? That's certainly true. Because he, in a sense, sacrificed himself for us. So the spirit of true friendship, true fellowship, is a giving of ourselves to one another for the good of one another, putting the other people first before ourselves. And that is what the Lord called fellowship and friendship. When we put others before ourselves. When I was a first Christian, there was a chorus, Joy, J-O-Y, Jesus, others, then you. J-O-Y, Jesus, others, then you. And I've never forgotten that. And that's true. Jesus first, then others, and love yourself last. There's nothing wrong with loving ourselves. We can do that, but in its right order of things, you might say. So the spiritual love is a sacrificial love, as Jesus demonstrated so clearly. Greater love has no man than this, that a man lay down his life for his friend. And we're his friends if we do whatever we ask. Imagine having a friend called Jesus, the Son of God. And he says to us, you're my friends if you do what I ask. And we hope we will. So if you just have a look again in that first letter of John, please. Go to that first letter of John once again. And chapter 3. And look at verse 16 again, please, would you? Look at 1 John 3:16 again. I'm reading from the New King James. It doesn't matter which version you have. 1 John 3:16 in the letter. By this we know love, because he laid down his life for us. We also ought to lay down our lives for the brethren. And you can see practically in verse 17, the giving of the word's good, sharing with one another for those in need. A fellow brother, that is. Not the world, but a fellow brother or sister in Christ, meeting their needs. We don't shut our heart away from it. So that's very important. That is Christian love, one for another. And that's very important. In one sense, is the giving ourselves to our brothers and sisters in Christ. And that love, of course, it's not meant to be a sentimental love. It's got to be far greater and stronger and deeper than that. It's not infatuation either. It is sacrificial, yet it is practical. If we see a brother or sister in need of this world's goods, go and share it. That's practical. So John is speaking something very considerable here. So just consider now the bond between believers. Well, our unity, of course, is in our experience of Christ's salvation. We're in the true church. We're in the ecclesia, the bond of peace between every one of us, binding us together because of the peace with God and the peace of God governing our lives. And that's our common experience, salvation. We have a testimony we can share. So all these things are important. So Christian fellowship within the ecclesia or the assembly or true church, if you like, is so very important. Well, of course, we know it's very easy to fall short of that high standard, isn't it? So we need the Lord's help in order to be strong to do what we ought to do. And that is the bond of Christian fellowship, the bond of Christian friendship. This is important today. The world doesn't have this sort of love. It doesn't have this long and deeper, higher aspect of friendship either, which binds Christians together. It's unique. It's unique because it's Christ himself within each one of us. So just consider what Jesus said in Christian unity, our oneness in him. What did Jesus say? He said, you are my friends. Well, isn't that marvelous? Fancy being called a friend of Jesus. Well, Abraham was a friend of God back in Genesis. You are my friends, he says. Accordingly, of course, we must do what he asks. So that's important. Now, Jesus said that to his disciples too. You're my friends if you do what I ask you to do. So friendship there involves being of one mind. One mind, one spirit, a unity in Christ. We're allowed, of course, our own thoughts and individual personalities. Yes, that's not what I'm talking about. We're not robots. That we have our own mind and thinking and emotions, but there's a common bond between us, that is the Lord Jesus Christ and our unity of him. Now, Jesus said to 11 disciples, you are my friends if you do what I command you. He said 11, not 12. Judas was not there. He wouldn't be involved in that, would he? So the idea of being a friend of Jesus is marvelous. Now, would you go back from 1 John to Ephesians? Ephesians chapter 4, please. Ephesians chapter 4. And look at verse 3. I've more or less quoted it before. Ephesians chapter 4 and verse 3. Ephesians 4 and verse 3. I often use this, mention sharing it. Well, let's read from verse 1. I think we read verse 1 and 2 as well. Did he did 3? I, therefore, the prisoner of the Lord, beseech you, plead with you, to lead a life worthy of the calling with which you were called, with all lowliness as humility, and gentleness, with long-suffering as patience, perseverance, bearing with one another, endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. Now notice it says, endeavoring, keep it. It doesn't say create it. The Holy Spirit is the creator of the bond of peace, not us. But we are endeavoring to keep it, what is already created. That's important. And there's one body, one Spirit, called in one hope of your calling, verse 4. One Lord, one faith, one baptism. See the unity here? One God and Father of all, who is above all and through all and in you all. The Father's in us too, as well as the Lord Jesus and the Holy Spirit, the Trinity living in us. Isn't that marvelous? So we can enjoy true Christian friendship and fellowship in the unity in Christ by this one Holy Spirit, and he binds us together in the bond of peace and the bond of love, bond of kindness, the bond of humility, the bond of comfort. All these things, that's true. So Christian friendship, Christian fellowship, I could use Amos chapter 3 and verse 3. Don't look it up, I'll quote. Amos 3 and verse 3. Can two walk together except they be agreed? No, of course not. Two walk together in harmony? They must be agreed in principles, in practice, in thoughts, and purpose. Can two walk together except they be agreed? No, of course not. So the underlying wonderful witness of Christians, and the world watches us, is Christian friendship, Christian fellowship. And, as I say, it can even be sacrificial as well. Those who have given up their lives to save others in dangerous places, that's true. So can you find that in the people of the world? Well, not that high standard, you can't. It's created by the Holy Spirit and the bond of God's peace in our hearts through salvation experience. Now, how are we living like that? Well, it's a challenge to me. It's a challenge to you. Can we witness to that for ourselves? Secondly, not only Christian unity, but Christian loyalty. Christian loyalty. Jesus said, you are my friends if you do whatever I command you. And our loyalty, of course, is to the Lord Jesus Christ. That's true friendship. That's our true fellowship with him. In John's first letter in chapter 1, you didn't turn to it, we have fellowship with the Father and fellowship with the Son. What a wonderful privilege. Human beings can have that. A fellowship, a unity, a walking together, an agreement, doing what the Lord wants us to do and what the Father wants us to do. Marvelous, isn't it? So there's a witness there that Christians love one another. And if we truly do love one another, and people around us watch us, our neighbors know us, do we have that expression of love for one another? Well, there it is. You're my friends if you do whatever I command you. Of course, that command is me, we must obey. Now, that friendship with the Lord Jesus and that fellowship we have with him and with one another, it's not soft. It's not shallow. Far from it. It expects unswerving and unending loyalty and love. Unchangeable. Now, of course, we need the Lord's help and strength of the Holy Spirit. Yes, that's certainly very true. And that loyalty towards the Lord Jesus and towards one another must be through faithfulness and all confidences we have with the Lord and with one another. If people share their burdens, we're not called to gossip it with others, but to bear one another's burdens and privately keep us between ourselves. It's important here. Now, I want you to go back to a psalm, please. Would you go back to Psalm 25? Psalm 25, right back there, please. Psalm 25. Psalm 25. And look at verse 14. Psalm 25, and look at verse 14. We could read through from 4 to 14, but I'll leave that to you. You could read through verses 4 to 14 on your own, but I'm just looking at that 14th verse itself. The secret of the Lord is with those who fear him. He will show them his covenant. And of course, he has. The secret of the Lord is with those who fear him, those who give him reverence, that means, and worship, not to be scared to death. He will show us his covenant, which he has done, of course. But there it is. Here's a man who fears the Lord in verse 12. What does verse 12 say? Look back to verse 12. Who is the man who fears the Lord, reverence, worships the Lord? Him shall he teach in the way he chooses. He's prepared to teach us in the Christian life, in the Word of God, how we live. He's prepared to do that and share his mind and will through the scriptures, what he plans ahead for our future. That's certainly very true. So all these things are very important we have here. Psalm 25, verse 14. Leave you to read verses 4 through to 14 on your own. The secret of the Lord is of those who fear him. The Lord does reveal the secret things of the Word of God to us. The Holy Spirit opens it up to us. The world doesn't have a clue on what the Word of God says. Not a clue. But praise the Lord, we have. As we study the Word and expect the Holy Spirit to help us, of course. That's certainly very true. And remember what the Lord said to Abraham? Goes back to Genesis 18. Shall I hide from Abraham the things which I do? What wonderful fellowship that is. The Lord Almighty said to Abraham, I'm going to reveal to Abraham what my plans are for his life and for Israel and as a nation. I'm going to tell him. I'm going to plan it through Isaac, through Jacob, and the 10 tribes. And so he did. Must be a wonderful fellowship between Abraham and the Lord, I'm sure. Shall I hide from Abraham the things which I do? That's Genesis. And concerning Moses, Moses is another unique man. He had a close walk with the Lord too, didn't he, most of the time? It says here in Exodus 33, verse 11, no need to turn it up, Exodus 33, 11. The Lord spoke to Moses face to face, as a man speaks to his friend. Now, one says it wasn't quite face to face because the Lord put Moses into a crevice in the rock, as you know. But it was that close by and showed him his back. But it was as if it were so intimate, it seemed as if it was face to face, as a man speaks to his friend. Abraham, the friend of God. Moses, the friend of God. You and I, the friend of the Lord. Oh, I think that's wonderful. Just think about that when we finish tonight. Think about the friendship you have with Jesus. And he says, you're my friends. If you do what I command you, of course, as we will do. So happy is the man or the woman who has friends like that. And have a friend, a Christian friend, any of us, who can share confidences, and that confidence is held secret between you and the persons, not to be shared around with others. No. So happy is a man who has friends like that. That's certainly true. There's only one who loves like this, that's Jesus. But we are called to love one another. Loyalty also means faithfulness. Faithfulness to him, faithfulness to others. So true friendship is not impaired if people live a long way away from us. You might see them occasionally. Now, I have a friend, Dr. Alec Passmore, as you know, he lives up near Preston, about 270 miles away. We have fellowship on the phone or through the emails or whatever it is. And occasionally we meet together and that friendship is renewed closely. You will have your friends that you have close Christian friends with, and you know them well. And it's good to have that friendship. It's good to have that fellowship, isn't it? So much so. Now, a friend. How would you define a friend? Well, I put it this way. A really good friend is one who knows you. He might know the worst about you, but he loves you just the same. Oh, I like that. He may know all the difficult things that you are and have, but he loves you just the same as if you didn't have them. And that's lovely, isn't it? That's a really good friend, that is, isn't it? Well, there's only one friend who loves like that, and his name is Jesus, of course. So loyalty, faithfulness, they all go together in our circumstances. In Proverbs, you don't need to turn it up. You can jot it down if you're making a note or two. Proverbs 17, verse 17. Proverbs 17, verse 17. A friend loves at all times. A friend loves at all times. And it's true to say that a close friend sticks even closer than a brother, if that's ever possible. Sometimes it is, of course. So true friendship is not impaired by our friends living at a distance we only see occasionally. Now, some years ago, before and soon after I became a Christian, I had a friend in Switzerland who came to work in the same factory as me. His name was Remy Chapat, very lovely man. And he didn't say he was definitely a Christian, but I could see that he was, in his warmth of character and personality, and there's kindness and thoughtfulness. It just came out from him. We should be like that as well. Now, he went to Brazil. Then I presume he went back to Switzerland, and we lost contact with him. I lost contact with him, and he with me. But I remember him. Though he was at a distance, we were still friends. Distance didn't alter anything. You have friends living at a distance? I'm sure it does. And maybe because they live at a distance, you perhaps find the friendship quite close at times. So a friend loves at all times, Proverbs 17, 17. So distance doesn't come into it at all, does it? So we have Christian loyalty. What about Christian sympathy? Now, I don't mean feeling sorry for one another. I don't mean that. Sympathy means coming alongside a person and sharing problems together, or personal things, or questions you want to resolve. Christian sympathy, getting alongside. Sympathy means agreeing, a sympathy, agreeing together. And Jesus said, "You are my friends if you do what I command you." So he has a sympathy with us, a oneness with us, agreeing together with us many times. We are to agree with him. "You are my friends if you do whatever I command you." That's Christian sympathy with us. He's one with us. Have a sympathy with us, coming alongside us, agreeing together. So we can share, because we're also called disciples, you know. Learners under discipline, if you like. So we can share and testify. We can witness. We can share the good things the Lord does for each one of us with each other and encourage one another. Oh, how we are called to encourage one another these days. There's not much encouragement out in the world today, is there? Far from it. But Christians are called to encourage one another. You know, Barnabas, his name means son of encouragement. I expect you knew that. Barnabas means son of encouragement. Now, he joined Paul in his first missionary journey. And there are many times when Barnabas lived up to his name and encouraged Paul in the difficulties that Paul had on his missionary journeys, mainly the first one. So Barnabas was alongside to encourage Paul. Maybe you're like a Barnabas. Be like a Barnabas, getting alongside to encourage other believers if they're going through difficult times. It's certainly true. So that's Christian sympathy, getting alongside, understanding, wanting to understand. People share their difficulties with you, talking together. Yes, that's Christian sympathy, coming together. And Jesus is just like that. That's genuine friendship. That's genuine fellowship. And the Apostle Paul wrote in Romans, let's have a look at it. Would you go to Romans 12 now? Leave the Psalms. Go to Romans 12, would you please? Familiar verses, I'm sure. Go to Romans chapter 12. And we read from verse 9, say to 18. Romans 12, verses 9 through to 18. And we come to a close in a moment. Romans 12, verse 9. Let love be without hypocrisy. Abhor what is evil. Cling to what is good. Be kindly affectionate to one another with brotherly love, in honor giving preference to one another. Not lagging behind in diligence, carefulness. Fervent in spirit, serving the Lord. Rejoicing in hope. We can have fellowship in hope, can't we? Patient in tribulation, troubles. Continuing steadfastly in prayer. We pray with one another. Distributing to the needs of the saints, well, those who are in need, brothers and sisters. Given to hospitality, that's good. Bless those who persecute you. Bless and do not curse. Rejoice for those who rejoice and weep for those who weep. Be of the same mind towards one another. That's sympathy. Do not set your mind on high things, but associate with the humble. And do not be wise in your own opinion. Repay no one evil for evil. Have regard for good things in the sight of all men. If it is possible, as much as depends on you, live peaceably with all men, believers and not. So that's important, isn't it? And that is, in a sense, sympathy with other Christians. And that is very important indeed. We know that Jesus loved to go to the home of Mary, Martha and Lazarus. We know that. John chapter 11 is very plain on that. And we know that Lazarus is ill. But Jesus stayed where he was for, was it up to 4 days? And Lazarus died. They couldn't understand why Jesus didn't come. But he said, my delay is for the glory of God. How was that? Because he resurrected Lazarus. He resurrected Lazarus for the glory of God. That's why he delayed. If the Lord delays answer to our prayers, it's for his glory. And ultimately, your blessing too. So, Jesus loved to go to the home of Mary and Martha and Lazarus. He spent many a time there in Bethany, refreshing himself with their friendship as well. And when Lazarus died, Jesus wept, almost the shortest verse in the Bible. He wept at the loss of his friend because he saw the effect of losing Lazarus to Mary and Martha. And that overwhelmed him too. But he knew he was going to resurrect Lazarus, but he sympathized with the sadness and grief of Mary and Martha, even though he knew what he was going to do. And then when he raised Lazarus, what a joy that must have been. So that's certainly true, isn't it? He showed sympathy, and he wept when Mary and Martha were weeping, even though he knew what he would do. That's true sympathy. And whenever we have a sad time, Jesus, in a spiritual way, draws near to us with his peace and with his strength if we go through a hard time. And we do go through hard times, difficult times that face us, maybe death of a loved one, whatever that may be, and we're grieved. But the sympathy of Jesus, the strength of the Holy Spirit, is one that uplifts and undergirds us. As Deuteronomy said, underneath are the everlasting arms of God. That's what he does. And Mary and Martha were grieving and sad. He was there to undergird them with his love and his presence with them. That's important. So true friendship, true fellowship between Christians is the fact we're bound together in Jesus Christ. If one weeps, we all weep. If one rejoices, we all rejoice. That's fellowship. That's friendship. That's identification. That's sympathy with other Christians in their need. So just consider the benefits of Christian friendship and fellowship. Very important, this. Jesus said to us, I don't call you servants anymore. A servant doesn't know what his master does. I call you friends, and I know. I tell you what I'm going to do. Of course, we have the whole scripture now, don't we? I've called you friends. The things that I've heard from my Father, and the unity with the Father, he says, I'm sharing these with you. And we have the whole word of God now, don't we? So the effect of Christian friendship, and we will call the friendship of Jesus too, though we don't see him, but he calls us friends and he's our friend as well. Imagine being a friend with the Son of God. Oh, wow. Yes, it's true. So Jesus says, now look, I don't call you servants anymore. A servant doesn't know what his master is doing. I'm telling you, I've got plans for you, and that's wonderful. And the things that I heard of my Father, I will declare them to you. And we have it in the scriptures together. So the effect of Christ's fellowship, the effect of Christ's friendship with the disciples, lifted them up in hard times. Now, do you remember when they were on the boat crossing the Galilee? And because of the mountains around Galilee, storms come very quickly through the tunneling side of the mountains on the storm at Galilee, and it comes very suddenly. And the disciples are scared to death. What did Jesus do? He stood up and said, peace. Calm. That's what Jesus can do. He can do it. But I tell you something. How do we respond? Do we still say anxious, uptight, and worried when Jesus speaks peace? Well, that's very practical, but it's sometimes so difficult to get there, isn't it? So the benefits of Christian fellowship and friendship is, of course, the bond of peace, the unity we have, the sympathy we have with one another, sharing with one another, joys and problems, whatever that is. So Jesus was saying, listen, I have loved you with an everlasting love. How wonderful, in the Old Testament and the New Testament. So the effect of fellowship together is uplifting for each one of us. That's very effective. Between Christian, we are disciples too. The lifting up of one another, in praying for one another. If we're sad, we're sad with them. If we rejoice, we rejoice with them. As Paul said. So that's very important. That lifts us up. So friendship, fellowship in Christ between us is, well, it's such a strengthening fact. That's why Christians must never isolate themselves. Never. Because the blessing comes where two or three are gathered in his name, he's there with them. How true that is. I know that means other things as well, prayer as well. So friendship is very important between believers. And Jesus said, I'll call you my friends. That's uplifting as well, isn't it? So the transforming power of the friendship of Jesus, when we take it to heart, can lift us up above all sorts of rather difficult circumstances. When Jesus' love permeates us and he says, I walk with you through your daily life. Easy to forget it. The circumstances around us, we forget it, but he's still there. He doesn't change. Christ's friendship, Christ's fellowship. It lifts us up. We're sinners saved by grace. Yes, we know that. But we're now more than servants. We're sons and daughters of God the Father. Imagine that. Wonderful. So the transforming power of Christ's fellowship and friendship in the Spirit, as the Holy Spirit makes it known to us, it lifted us up. It lifted up the disciples in their need in the storms of life, and he uplifts us too in the same way. So it can lift up what people say, well, I'm not worth anything. Jesus said, you're worth everything to me. I died for you. I sacrificed myself for you. You mean a lot to me. And you mean a lot to your Heavenly Father too, because Christ died to save you. That's how much you are worth to him. Ever thought about that? You are worth a great deal to Jesus because he loved you and saved you. I thought I'd bring that in. So that is very, very encouraging. We come to a close now. It's time to shut up now. So we have Christ's salvation. Wonderful, isn't it? I wonder if you could please go to a proverb this time as we come towards a close. I think we must close. Back to Proverbs, please, if you wouldn't mind. Proverbs. Go to chapter 13, would you? Go back to chapter 13 of Proverbs. Proverbs 13. And look at verse 20. Proverbs 13 and verse 20. You can see two opposites here. As often is in this Proverbs, you see two opposites in the same verse. Deceit is in the heart of those who devise evil. That's one side. But counselors of peace have joy. As fellowship together, when we're together, when we're sharing, bearing one another's burdens, maybe we're asked for help somehow, that creates joy between Christians. Counselors of peace have joy. Unity in the bond of peace creates joy. Joy is a gift of the fruit of the Holy Spirit anyway. I want you to think just finally as we just close in just a moment. Remember David? Back in this Old Testament, King David? Even before he became king, he was very, very close friends with Jonathan, Saul's son. Very close friends. And it says, David's soul was knitted to Jonathan's soul. That's an expression of the deep, deep friendship they had. Supporting one another, caring for one another, listening to each other, lifting one another up. That's what the fellowship between even two people, husbands and wives, friends, whoever. If one is down, the other lifts one up. That's how it should be anyway. So there's Jonathan and David. They had such a deep love for one another, and they were very strong in the covenant they made with each other. David and Jonathan made a covenant. And if you like, they became blood brothers. That's what's wonderful. Now, I'm coming to a close now. Time's gone. Do we love one another in Christian love and friendship and fellowship? Is our friendship and fellowship and love for one another a witness to our neighbors who watch us anyway? I hope so. And when we read in Ephesians 4, don't need to turn back again, about the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace, the unity, the oneness of fellow Christians. That's what the strength is. The bond of peace, the unity we have with one another is a strength to each other. It's a strength, like a true ecclesia, a group of Christians together, is a strength to one another. That's as it should be. So true Christian friendship, true Christian fellowship should be very much alive in the unity of the Spirit and the bond of peace. It should be unceasing between Christians. And you can only fulfill that hope by walking with the Lord and walking in faithfulness and sympathy with other Christians as well. Walk in the unity of the Spirit. Not in word only or in tongue, but in deed, practical working. So important. So there we have it. Just think about that for a moment. Knowing the secret of the Lord is for those who fear him without a doubt. So there's a thought, Christian friendship, Christian fellowship, in the unity of the Spirit, the bond of peace, and that undergirds us all. Maintain the friendship, maintain the fellowship between us all as Christian believers. It's a strength for everyday living. Amen.